You're listening to The Green Thumbs Up, brought to you by Miniquip Hire, WA's leading machinery hire company, supporting the Landscape Industries Association, WA.
G'day landscapers and welcome to another edition of Green Thumbs Up, the landscaping podcast for landscapers by landscapers, brought to you by our good friends from Miniquip, Bailey's Fertilisers and Domus Nurseries. I'm Darren Senor and joining me on hosting duties right now is Kieran Kelly from Open Gardens WA. Kizza, looking spiffy as usual.
Oh, thanks, Darren. I did do myself up a little bit just to come and see you tonight.
Ran the whippersnipper over
the beard. Yeah, put a clean shirt on.
Good to see you. I know I thought of something different about you. Hey, we've got a special guest in the studio with us tonight. Do you want to introduce him to the listeners?
I certainly can. It's Connor Blakely. And Connor, for those who follow AFL, has come out of the Fremantle Football Club, the Dockers, if you're a supporter or not. But Connor, welcome.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
And you've got a business name now, Connor, that you run your mowing and services through?
Yeah, I've got a quite a small business at the moment, but it's called Blakely's Backyards. So a bit of alliteration with that. Plays on the double B. So yeah, I've had that for the best part of nearly a year now.
Yeah.
So I'm really enjoying it and I've really loved, sort of getting involved in the industry so far.
There's definitely a bit of a correlation of playing footy and the turf industry because, like, your working environment when at the footy club is on turf, and you would have seen the turfies there and how much care and passion they really put into that turf management systems at the ovals, like at Coburn and at Optus. Did that sort of spark an interest in the turf industry for you at all?
Yeah, without a doubt, we're sort of talking about off air just before about how I sort of got into it. But to touch on that point of being at like elite training facilities and playing games at the MCG and SCG and Marvel Stadium and things like that, there's so much more to it than what meets the eye. There's definitely like if you're not involved per se in the industry or you have a bit of an understanding of what it actually takes to prepare elite surfaces, it's something that can almost be a little bit underappreciated in amongst people, because like there is so much time and effort and energy put into getting those facilities up to scratch, and almost take it for granted in the way that like it's so elite. There's not a blade out of point or out of shape, and it's something that I've really enjoyed getting into, and sort of bought my own house back in 2018 in East Fremantle, and sort of started taking notice of the garden a little bit more, and bit by bit started getting more and more involved in things and learning more and talking to people, asking questions, things like that, and talking to the turf manager at the footy club, and bit by bit just naturally a bit of a progression into this industry, and I've been loving it.
So Blakey's backyard, what's your main line of work?
So the main line of work that I'm doing is general maintenance. So it's quite small, obviously, with football. I'm no longer with the Fremantle Footy Club, finished up a couple of months ago. But throughout that time and during this time as well, I've kept it part-time. So I've got just over half a dozen, maybe about eight clients, with one of them being my auntie and uncle. They've got a tennis court in City Beach. So that's probably the one that takes the most time and care and effort. And the one that I've learnt the most off, where I've been able to do the yearly renovation and dethatch and aerate and make sure it's nice and compact and use a really good top dressing in this like gingian sort of loam just to make it nice and firm. And I've actually got this weekend coming up, we've got like a bit of a Wimbledon tournament that it's the second year running now, because I've been looking after their place for just over a year now. So this time last year we had a little tournament and did the reno a couple of months before, and it was so thatchy. Like there's probably the last time that they verti mowed it would have been like 10 years ago when they first bought it. So that did it the world of good. Like we filled up a whole massive skip bin of just clippings and thatch and things like that. So the whole process of learning about that and implementing it, it's tough work. Like there's a couple of guys there's one guy in particular that I go through for those sorts of jobs. But it's pretty tough work, but it's been great. And so about half a dozen clients, it's all maintenance and things like that.
I wouldn't think there's too many lawn tennis courts left in the suburbs. I know there's probably a couple through the western suburbs, but
it's not too many
certainly
courts of any description. Left.
No,
you see a lot of derelict ones. Ones and dishes. But you're putting yourself in a fair bit of pressure doing aunties and uncles turf tennis court and getting it ready for a mini Wimbledon tournament every year. Like you must have a couple of sleepless nights leading up to that.
I've just had like a lot of help and support. Like there's this guy that I do get a few different products from, like fertilizers and wedding agents and things like that, and he's got a lot of knowledge in the industry, and he comes out and has a look at it and just advises on different things that I could do, and I send him photos all the time and just learned so much in the industry so far. And what's really sort of stood out for me in this industry is that everyone's very open to helping each other. Actually talking to my friend Sam, that he's got his own business, Pure Green Maintenance. I was doing some shout out to Sammy if he's listening. That I was doing some work with him today, and we're sort of chatting about just like there's sort of a mentality on some people that want to just dominate and own the market, but then there's never enough lawns or gardens to just have a monopoly on it. Like there's always going to be other businesses out there, so why compete? Like you are competing in the industry, but at the same time it's so good to help other people, and that's what I've really found in this industry.
That's good, and I think most gardeners are pretty happy to share their successes and their non-successes. That's the way that you learn. So you haven't done any formal TAFE training in lawn management or anything like that? You're just purely learning off what other people are feeding you the information?
Yeah, pretty much. So nothing formal. There is a Cert 3 in turf management that you can do at TAFE that I've looked into, but with football and with the time sort of side of things. And you also have to be, to do that, you have to be employed at a golf course or a sports field to then go to TAFE and do that. So I haven't done that official study, but in the future I may do it. But at the same time, through trial and error and learning, and there's so much information online as well that it's, and talking to people, it's, you do learn a lot as well. But it's something that I'm not ruling out in the future. It's definitely something that, I'd be quite interested in.
And could you see you managing Optus Stadium at one time? Or do you,
know, like I've got a mate that's doing his apprenticeship out there. And then I've met Tony Hemming out there and Brendan Large as well, who's the second in charge. Like, great fellas out there. And so, yeah, whenever we go and train and do a captain's run out there in the last couple of years, do the training and whatnot, and then I'm still out in the oval for another half an hour just chatting to Largie and seeing how the boys are going.
Being
so
critical of his turf. When the ball didn't bounce back to you or bounce the wrong way.
Yeah, well, they were actually under a fair bit of pressure this year with the amount of sport that they had on there with the NRL and the soccer that came over and things like that, and how it's sort of churned up for a little bit of period of time. So
they had some really short turnarounds there, didn't they?
Really short turnaround. So I was, they were under pressure for a fair bit, and it's just hard because in winter, like, it's very hard for the grass to obviously repair. And so I had to re-turf a fair bit before, I think it was before the soccer came over.
I remember being, no, it might have been early 2018, coming into the AFL footy season, and we went to the MCG with Hunter Industries to have a look around, and they had grow lights all around the MCG trying to get some of the patches to grow because there's just no sunlight on them. But it was quite weird seeing these just patches of the oval under grow lights trying to get the grass grow. While you're at the Dockers and just around the AFL, did you come across any other sort of real lawn nuffies and, you know, garden addicts that you could talk to about the sort of lawn stuff? Was there many guys into it?
There weren't too many. Like, I didn't really take too much notice of it when I wasn't necessarily that interested in it before sort of getting my own place and things like that. But then as I started taking more interest, started speaking to lads about, like, what do they have at their place? You've got Buffalo, you've got Cooch, what do you have? And so there wasn't anyone particularly obsessed with it like I am now, but there's a couple of lads. Well, I'm actually looking after Andy Brayshaw's place in East Freo, so I do the maintenance that he is, and going to hand over the reins to him shortly. He's going to take care of it. So
see how we go.
And he's more so known for his footy abilities and
his gardening skills.
His ability to look after his own.
Well, you've got to start somewhere. Right, and they're only young fellas. I mean, it's all right for us older fellas who've been in it for a long time. But I did remember that I started when I was 16, and I've been in it for a few years now. But you never stop learning, and there's always something you're going to learn every day in the horticultural industry and also the turf industry. I mean, turf people are very proud of their lawns, and I think anyone, even in a domestic situation, if you're proud of your lawn, you know how much time you actually put into it, but you multiply that by, you know, a another couple of acres, it's a very challenging job at times.
Yeah, for sure. But back to your question, there was this year in particular, Josh Tracy, he's quite into his lawn. He's from country Victoria, and he showed me videos of basically they've got a property out in, he's from Kahuna out in country Vic, and it's just all overgrown with weeds and things like that. And him and his old man, pretty sure they glyphosated the whole thing, and then they put down some ryegrass or some seed, and it just came up beautifully. Yeah. And so he's quite into it. He's got his own little business as well that he's just started up. So we chat every now and then about things, but yeah, it's pretty much like family and friends that I'm looking after at the moment as clients.
And you won't be the first one that started with family and friends. I think we've all started with family and friends when you first come out, because you need that leg up.
Yeah,
when you first start and you're looking for work, you're nothing to hit on somebody who's got a crappy looking garden and offer your services to them. And just friendships don't get in the way of money.
And the good thing about it as well is if you do a genuinely good job, they're more than happy to refer you to other people as well. So I guess in my case, with it not being a full-time thing, I've had to sort of palm back a bit of work. Just I don't like to take on too much and then say you miss someone's house for a mow, or you know that it's coming and you don't have enough time and you feel guilty and things like that. So I'm very much very aware of not trying to take on too much, because otherwise then it becomes a place of I need to employ someone and maybe they're not as invested in your own business as what you are, which is natural. Mm. But this is something that hopefully will evolve in the future.
And machinery-wise, you've just a cylinder mower, I would imagine, if you're mowing Wimbledon tennis courts in City Beach.
Pretty lucky. My uncle snagged a tennis court mower, a massive cylinder mower a while ago. So it's a 36-inch Alro.
Alro, yep.
Yeah, I think it was made back in the...
Split roller.
Split roller at the back, beautiful. So it makes it... It's an absolute beast. It's so heavy. And it's got the 10-blade reel on it as well, right. So it cuts really, really fine.
And what sort of length are you cutting it?
So at the moment...
For those turfies out there?
Yeah, for the ones that really love it. Yeah. So it's around about 10 mil at the moment, but getting it down to 8, and then for Wimbledon, looking to hopefully get it at 6, which would be quite short. But what I've done is that Royal Perth Golf Club have been kind enough to let me borrow their greens roller. So what I've been doing is I've been rolling it and getting it nice and flat. And then what I'm finding is that the cylinder mower isn't scalping as much as what it is if you don't get that roller on it.
Is that a hand roller or a mechanical roller?
Mechanical.
Mechanical roller.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So you're just cruising on it. And you
right.
Just,
yep.
You
up and down.
The handle.
Yep.
It's pretty funny.
Yep. You can see plenty of greenkeepers on bowling clubs, and you look at them and they zap across the ground.
Zoom across, yep. Yep. Yeah.
Spend a lot of time on those. So turf and irrigation go hand in hand. Do you dabble in the irrigation? Sort of putting your headspace into that as well a little bit, or are you just sticking with the turf at this stage?
So I don't officially offer services in terms of irrigation installs and things like that, but definitely do some maintenance, and we'll go down to the local retic shop and buy sprinkler heads and things like that, and just repair some of those, and looking after my brother's place as well in Cottesloe. And at first he had it all set up, it was just there was a couple of leaks and the sprayers just were quite old, so replace those, but don't do any digging over trenches or setting it up. It's something that I've considered, but as you get into the industry, there's people that specialise in it, and sometimes I'm just like, you know what, it's better let the ones that have been in the game. Let them do a really good job, because sometimes with irrigation, you don't know what you're getting into with, when you dig underground, it's like, what are we going to find?
I've got the irrigation guru who can tell you.
Special old systems, mate, they can just become an absolute nightmare, and you literally end up crying in the truck which you hadn't touched.
Well, I must admit that sometimes you just wonder what people think when they put irrigation systems in, because, it's at the end of the day, it's not that hard, but when you're dealing with other people who haven't known what they're doing, you go, well, why would you do that?
Yeah.
And that's the hardest thing. That's the hardest thing about irrigation, I would imagine.
Sometimes there can be the old, I'm just going to blame this on the person beforehand. Yeah. It's like, what were they doing?
Yeah.
Why would they set it up like this? But, sometimes there are some unique
So setups. In your football career, Connor, how does the turf on the MCG rate with Optus and the Sydney Stadium and the different ovals around? I mean, we're all in different conditions, obviously, and Marvel, which when they've got the roof shut or even open, you don't get a lot of sun in there. But
For the absolute nuffies and the turfies out there, there's different types of grass that are used. So generally most ovals will have the couch base, and even at Optus, they still oversow with rye come around April time, just so they get that colour and that coverage in winter. think from memory, playing at Marvel, it's pretty much all ryegrass. And then the MCG is quite similar as well. I could, don't know if it would be 100%, but they'll probably have a little bit of couch in there, but a lot because it's so cold and cool that the ryegrass thrives a lot more. Probably the best oval that, in my opinion, like in terms of stadium experience, all those sorts of things, the MCG, you can't go past it. Like when you're out there and you're looking around and playing, like there's, it sort of looks like just a big coliseum and like you're a gladiator fighting in there. It's really cool. But the one that, as an oval point of view, I think that Adelaide Oval, their deck has been as good as what I've experienced.
Yep.
But now that I say that, I think that down in Geelong at Virginia Park, like that's majority ryegrass as well, and that's absolutely phenomenal. Also due to the fact they don't play as much, so like they've got that benefit of less traffic.
Probably get less shade from the stands.
Well, all those things you've got to take into consideration because you can, you know, if you've got a building up against you, you know that even in your own backyard up against the fence, it's hard to grow a bit of bit of turf. Or in the middle of the backyard, it'll be nice and green. So you can imagine that's multiplied by thousands of times when you're talking about a football oval.
Mm.
And would you say that the greenkeepers of these football ovals have got an ego? They all want to outdo each other?
Oh, you'd say so, wouldn't you? Surely.
Yeah. It's interesting, yeah. Like you want the best for the oval that you're looking after, but again, like that sort of collaborative nature. I know that a lot of the guys sort of do keep in contact with each other and they look out for each other as well. So at the end of the day, they do want the best in Australia, naturally, but I think that they're not going to go over and just start spraying a bit of glyphosate, walk out and have a look and just have glyphosate on your shoes or something.
Walking in a circle.
Kids will remember this as well. In Perth, particularly when you go back into the 60s and 70s, the footy ovals were built on old rubbish tips on the green. Mm. So particularly, and all the rubbish tips in those days took everything, including greenways. So they'd eventually get, you know, the decomposition greenways and they'd slump. And if you know where to look for it, there's actually a recording of a game, I think it was Claremont Oval, but I certainly won't stake my life on it, where the commentators are calling the Claremont full forward running out of out from the goal square, and he disappeared. The hole just
sinkhole.
Yeah, sinkhole, and then he had to climb out of the, and that was why they built all the ovals. The old school ovals were all built on top of greenway sites. There's still one.
Roughly what year was that, you reckon?
That would have been in the 70s, yeah.
Right, because
late 60s, 70s, yeah.
Yeah, my old man played for East Perth back in the 80s, but I might ask him about it because his footy knowledge is pretty good. So
I heard it on 6BR they were talking about, and they found a recording of it, so it was pretty funny.
He didn't sink in the hole because he missed the goal from 3 metres out.
Well, he was leading up.
Well, and second to that as well, it's like you look at the games back then, a lot of them were like mud pits. Like you look at Waverley and the G and like all these other places, and where did Collingwood used to play? What was that?
Victoria Park.
Big Park as well. Like you look at those ovals and just absolute mud pits. Yeah. And then nowadays, like people are up in arms when say there's a little bit of it's just a little bit unstable underfoot and things like that. And it's like, gee whiz, like it's come a long way in the last 10-15. Like remember when Marvel now, but when Colonial or Etihad first started up, and there was just like bits of sand just like getting kicked up and things like that. And that was only like 15 years ago or so. Yeah, and now it's just so much better.
They've come a long way. That oval.
Well, I think Optus, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's a car park under Optus, isn't it?
There is.
Yeah. And so the oval's actually not, it's on concrete.
Same as Eddie has as well. Yeah.
So they do very well to get the turf up and running in those places.
Yep. So, footy, you're still hoping to get back in a system, or you still working your way through that, keeping yourself fit and healthy and giving yourself a chance?
Yeah, definitely. It's you sort of each year, if you're at a club or not at a club, like you have your off-season, you have a couple of weeks where you don't have to do anything. You have a program, say you're coming back. Like the lads or the younger boys would have started yesterday. They would have come back to training. So during the off-season, you have a couple of weeks where you don't have to do anything, and then you have a program that you do where you're running 3 times a week and going to the gym twice, sometimes 3 times a week. So I've been following Fremantle's program just to keep myself fit because there is a little bit of interest out there, and my manager's been working pretty hard to get myself another opportunity out there, and certainly believe that my best is still on an AFL field and not at a state sort of league level. So it's looking pretty good. The national draft and the rookie draft's coming up. Is it next Tuesday, next Wednesday? So fingers crossed, but looking fairly good for Gold Coast at this point.
Oh, yeah.
But without sort of forecasting, that's definitely going to happen. Hopefully it does. And it's looking pretty good, which, look, the grass growing conditions over there are pretty good as well.
Fantastic. I mean, Queensland is Queensland, but the Gold Coast, it's, I mean, they've got the beach. Do you surf?
Well, I was originally going to be going over there in the new year anyway and playing in the VFL. They've got a team named Southport over there. So if this does work out with the Suns, then it would just be an absolutely ideal situation. So
for somebody who likes the beach and likes the good weather, it would be a fantastic place.
Yeah, it will be good. So fingers crossed.
Some different growing experiences there, and learn a few other techniques. But outside of footy, what do you do to keep for fun? And you got any other hobbies other than turf and footy, or are they sort of all consuming for you now?
Yeah, sort of touched on it before. Yeah, surfing is definitely one that I really enjoy doing. And then besides from that, it's literally footy related things, and then gardening / the business sort of side of things, and then. Once you take up those three things and you've got your friends and family, there's not much time left in your day. So I couldn't imagine what it's like to have a kid and all these other things as well.
Oh, yeah, kids.
Were you under Ross Lyon?
Was I under him?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's getting more like footy talk now, Darren. But
no,
so,
I was.
So how will he go at St Kilda?
Oh, who knows? Like, it'll be interesting because he's been out of the system for a little while now, which I think is probably a good thing for him in the sense of just being able to get a different perspective where he was in the media and doing a few different bits and pieces. So it will be interesting because there is that narrative about him not being able to develop a list. Like, he's very good when he has quite a strong... Yeah, but I still look back at my time at Fremantle and, I had a lot of respect for him and gained his respect as well with... just building my game over a long period of time. And, there was a period there where I was playing some really good football under him and very much challenges you. Like, he's the most, direct, brutally honest person that you could meet, sometimes to the point of, I was a little bit uncalled for.
Yeah.
I could tell you a couple of sprays that I've had, maybe for another time or another podcast.
Yeah, another podcast.
He certainly got the best out of me as a player, and I know that he did the same for a lot of players that were at Fremantle during that period of time, like Gary Gibson and Nick Subin and... all these, Tendai Mazungu and Mickey Barlow, and I've got absolute huge respect for him. So I wish him all the best over there. And I guess things under JL didn't pan out as what I'd wanted them to, and sort of didn't get as much opportunity as what I would have loved to, but these things happen, and on to the next chapter of my life.
So have you think you'll be able to take a lot of those experience from your football life into your business life?
Yeah, without a doubt. I think... there's so many ups and downs in football, and there's so many things may not be going necessarily too well, but if you stick the path and just keep persisting, that eventually it will get better. And I think with gardening and with lawn care and things like that, that could be going quite poorly. Yeah. It's middle of winter. Yep. It's not growing. There's weeds popping up and things like that. But if you put the work in during that period, then spring comes along and starts to fire up again. And then you've set the foundation for summer and the growing season. So there are a lot of things, and the business side of things, you can say underquote and you're out of job for 6 hours and then you quote it for an hour and things like that, and just sort of leveling yourself at the end of the day and just being like, look, it's just one average
another learning curve.
Yeah.
And we've all been there. That's for sure.
Absolutely, we've all learned those lessons the hard way. Why would you want to learn it? The lessons the easy way? That would just be so boring.
Yeah.
And they're good stories as well.
Not
at the time.
No, they're not at the time, but I'm sure everyone who's listening out there has done exactly the same thing, where at the end it's your time, it's the money value you put on your time, which can be, if you're struggling, it can be zero. If you're doing really well, it might be a good sum. But at the end, it is labour. As long as you're not losing too much out on your materials, you can sort of wear the labour.
Exactly.
You can wear the labour part a bit.
That's what I was saying before, is there's so many people in the industry that are so willing to share their stories as well, and you can learn off them and just be like, right, I'm not going to do it that way because that doesn't work, and then go through your own experiences as well.
Yeah, no, that's true.
That's great hearing it from someone who's just coming into the industry, that the industry is so welcoming to people who do come in and sharing their experiences, because that's the way you learn.
I think as well, just being open in myself and happy to talk to people as well. Like, you can only gain out of the relationships that you have, if you're willing to give a bit as well, you can sort of be closed off. And there are those people that go about their business and have their mowing ground or whatever, and that's, and they're okay with doing that. But I know that there's so much more to that than just doing your own thing. Like, you can certainly learn so much off other experienced people.
Absolutely. And the Wimbledon competition in Sydney Beach coming up. What's your chances?
So what it is it's a doubles tournament. So paired up, and we should have a fair few people playing in it. Like last year, I think we had around about 28 people playing. So I'm pushing it to hopefully there's 32. So then we can have like a round of 16, and the draw is nice and even. So
it's a weekend event, by the sounds of it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, so it starts at 3, and then it probably wraps up at around about 8 o'clock. But what we do is that it's like everyone serves once. If it gets to 2 all games, and you go to a tie break, so you're not playing full sets.
Right.
And there's the big trophy we actually need to get. Maybe you guys can sponsor the prize or something for the winners. But
the Liawa Wimbledon Cup.
Yeah.
But my chances. Don't know who I'm paired up with yet. Need to find a partner for it. But look. Yeah, hopefully. I got to the semi-final last year, so maybe one more this year.
Well, stay well hydrated during the day. Very important when you're playing tennis, I think, to keep your hydration levels up. And I wish you the best of luck of that. And I wish you the best of luck in hopefully finding another AFL gig, Connor. And I look forward to meeting you and continuing to see you thrive in the industry over many years to come. Thank you very much for coming in today.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Connor.
You've been listening to The Green Thumbs Up, brought to you by the Landscape Industries Association, WA, sponsored by Miniquip Hire.